The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EN Media.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
In the past 5 years, the ECW arena has seen many a violent act. Ooh, but this time, the triple threat will give you something you never thought you'd see. It starts off once again with this man having to carry a Canadian to greatness.
Well, this part is something that's actually, as usual, this part of the fraction, because, like usual, ECW's back in the triple threat in the corner and treating me like a pack mule, strapping that Canadian jerk on my back. I gotta march down the aisle and defend the tag team belt all by myself. They still give that stupid moron credit. And if I knock him out and beat him up like I know that I can do, well, then he gets pinned like a stupid idiot, then I get fired and I can't work here. So you know what? I'm gonna take Lance Storm, I'm gonna take that little skinny pencil arm and tie it to the ring post and do all the work by myself like I usually do anyway. But I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. It's not making me, man. The fans upset me. And what they're doing to our leader, the world champion, the franchise, because the blues is coming up, and all of a sudden now, at the arena, they give him that moron Sabu pointing at stars. What is not fair?
The curveballs just keep coming. Wrestlepalooza's right around the corner. And yet this time at ECW Arena, they tell me I've got to fight homicidal, suicidal, genocidal Sabu. I know what you're capable of, Sabu. I know what you can do. But you'd have to cut this head right off my shoulders. You'd have to cut me off at the knees. You'd have to strip me of everything I've got here, of all my pride, of 16 years of blood, sweat, and tears that I've put into this sport. Wrestlepalooza is my pedestal. Al Snow, I will prove to you there who is the better man. Sabu, you will not take my chance at glory. It's my pedestal, and you will not take it from me. Have you ever felt like you've stood in the shadow of some kind of a beast, a mammoth, a mountain of a man? But behind me, the beast from the east. Look at his eyes. Look at the bandage. Look at the scars. What you've done to him. You've taken something that belongs to him. Something that belongs to the triple threat. What you've done in doing that has made him a very dangerous man. The ECW will not even sign a contract for him. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because he's so dangerous, he'll take a money player out before Wrestlepalooza. Sign him up against Taz, he's beaten him. Sign him up against Sandman, he's beaten him. Sign him up against any top star here in ECW, and he has beaten them. The triple threat has been painted back into a corner. We only have one way to go, and that's to fight our way out. So this time in the ECW arena, we show the world before WrestlePalooza that we are worthy of this spot, that we deserve what we have. Like us or not, we're the greatest this sport has to offer. We are the triple threat. And we're about to get extreme. Oh, yeah.
Episode 487 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. Rant Entertainment Media, and whatever Jimmy Ferrari is doing. I, as always, and forever will be your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And this is the second time I'm recording this episode. So, and I promise you guys, not that I promised you, but I told you I wasn't going to play any copyrighted music after the Terry Funk tribute, but this actually calls for it. So we're gonna I gotta start this on a somber note because it's got to be done. And I last night was saying goodbye to one of my oldest friends in the whole wide world, and it coincides with the song and the promo. And you know, imitation is the best form of flattery, and as a young man you feel like you want to do that. And our heroes were either sports athletes, really controversial musicians, or in my world, they were professional wrestlers. And not only was the topic right now was not only was he a wrestler, but he was one of my bestest friends in the whole wide world. And we lost him tragically a week ago at the age of 48 years old. So I met Jay Reynolds. I was a grade above him, so I want to say fifth grade or sixth grade. I'm trying to do the timeline in my head, meeting all these people last night for the first time in a bunch of years because he has a big family. And I met him in junior high school, grade school, then junior high school, and you know we were neighborhood friends, played a lot of sports together, stuff like that. And he comes from a huge family. He's the youngest of three sisters, two brothers, and a ton of nieces and nephews and great-nieces and nephews, and just a beautiful, big family. And we all took care of each other, you know, in the neighborhood. The neighborhood, you know, if your best friend's mom is your mom, and, you know, his mom and aunt took care of me, my mom took care of him, you know, we did a lot of shit together as kids. We played a ton of sports, and the one thing that brought us back to everything as a collective was wrestling. We met Brian while we were in high school. But the fun fact is I basically known Brian's family my whole life because Brian's aunt lived on my block and babysat my sister and I. It all comes full circle. So we were thick as thieves. And if you didn't call us the Three Musketeers, you called us the Triple Threat. That's who we were. And every time we were together, we threw the three up. We had a fourth member, like a horseman type thing, but that person was a close friend and rotated. It was like three guys that rotated in pictures. but it was always the three. The staple. Thick. Did a lot together. It was, you know, Brian and Jay got really close. I kind of sort of paved my own path and did some stuff. But no matter where we came, no matter where we left off, we always came together, you know, and it was a beautiful thing. And even if I didn't talk to them or see them in years, we just pick up like it never, like nothing ever happened. You know, we spoke every day via text message. So when he passed away last Thursday, I was beside myself. I came home, I drank heavily, and then recorded like a 40-minute tirade where I cried my eyes out. But that was too much vodka, and I didn't release it. And I figured, you know, it was not cool. Just because I'm pretty transparent with you guys for the last 11 years. I'm not going to lie about that. I just felt like, I don't know, I had a couple more days to process it. Last night was not fun by no stretch of the imagination. I did, like I said, got to see a lot of great people that I grew up with that are like family to me. Not seeing them in that state of mind would have been nice, but unfortunately this is what it was. And losing such an amazing person that early in life, leaving three beautiful kids and a wife behind, you know, you have to wonder spiritually why this happens, right? You have to, and I've been questioning everything in my life lately in the last 2-3 years just because of my age and, you know, mortality and why does this happen? Why does that happen? And so when Brian came in yesterday morning, you know, we didn't even get a chance. We caught up, you know, and, just, you know, shot the shit and we had to play dress up and, you know, and we went to the tattoo parlor and got the tattoos I posted on social media. Just because. And even like the tattoo artist, you know, shout out to Dave, R&D on Myrtle Avenue in beautiful Glendale, New York, in Queens. Dave knew Jay. Jay and Brian basically opened up that place. They were like the first couple of customers they had. And then the R of the R&D moved away. And another close friend of mine who had the same initial, Rich, you know, Big Fi, Big Ugly. I posted his podcast on this network a few times when he did the neighborhood thing for a couple of weeks. But Fi's been one of my oldest friends as well since high school. So when he bought the place over, it was, you know, it was nice that that Dave came in on his day off yesterday and tatted Brian and I up before we went to the service for Jay. And and I'm in the seat and I'm zoning out, you know. And a little painful because he had a colored outline of the diamond for the symbol. And I was just like, all right, just not really focusing on the pain, just thinking about the neighborhood. And literally, we grew up 2 blocks away from where I was sitting. And I just couldn't help notice, like, not that I noticed anything, I had a feeling that I was just, even though the neighborhood's changed and a lot of stuff ain't there anymore and it doesn't look the same, you know the streets, you know the neighborhood. Deutch came in, Kelly came in, it was nice. I saw Chris, our boy Chris, he supports the podcast, he's on the page a lot. Chris and his daughter came, and we were just, you know, after the wake, we were just shooting shit. And I said to Chris, I said, you know, I said, I've known Chris since kindergarten. He lived across the street from me. So I know Chris even longer than I know Jay. So it's like I said, if anything had ever happened to you guys in this early stage of your life, I'd be crippled with heartache because you guys are my oldest friends. I don't need to see you all the time. I don't need to hang out with you guys to know that you're my people, you're my family, you're my friends, you know. And I want to shout out my mom because my mom came yesterday and she knew I was hurting, like legitimately hurting, you know. And she didn't pry, she didn't poke, she didn't do her normal, like, you know, let me try to help you or let me lecture you about something. She understood. And when you have a friend like this for 95% of your life and you lose him, this stage of your life, it sucks. You know, I just spoke to him the day before. He was fine. Before he passed, he was fine. And I won't get into what happened because it's none of anybody's business. If the family wants to disclose that, that's on them, you know. And we went to say our goodbyes yesterday, and we put the tattoo design that we had from the tattoo parlor. We put it in the coffin with them, and I put a couple pictures of him, of us with them, throwing up the three. We always threw it up. I'm throwing it up right now as we speak. It's a symbol of excellence, and we prided ourselves on anything we did. We did it good and efficient, and people knew, whether it was a game, a sporting event, whether it was anything in the neighborhood, everybody knew you didn't mess with the triple threat. And you know why? Because we took care of each other. We took care of the neighborhood. We took care of our friends and family, and that's what we did. And we used that whole wrestling persona thing, like, because Jay was wrestling. Jay went to wrestling school. He was trained by the great Johnny Rods. He wrestled for Warriors of Wrestling. We lived vicariously through him. He was our Shane Douglas. He was our franchise. He was the most athletic of the crew. He was the most gifted of the crew. And he basically sometimes at times carried us through games and really through life. We always had the wrestling. We always had it. We always got the pay-per-views. We always got together. We went to, I can't tell you how many trips to Philly I made with him when ECW became a thing. You know, we were in ECW Arena before it when it was still general admission, when it was still $12 a ticket, before they renovated the place, when they put a big black cloth over the bingo sign because there was bingo during the week. You know, I got to take my son there and show him. Sorry. I showed him the arena when he was little, and he designed our logo for us. I gave him the triple threat shirt. I said, we need something, and he did it. And Brian sent it away, and that was it. Dave took care of it and picked out the size and the spot where we were going to put it, and that's it. We did it. And now that'll deliver us forever. And I thought about what I was going to say, and like I said, I recorded something last week, and I was just a blabbering idiot. I had no desire to put that out. Not at all. It was bad. And it had just happened that night. And I got home and I was like, I poured a bunch of booze, like I said. And I said, hey, man, let me redo this. And then after seeing Brian yesterday, just, you know, I needed to see him. And I'm glad he came. And he's currently stuck on a fucking tarp at the airport because his plane, there's something wrong with his plane. He's supposed to leave almost 2 hours ago. So hopefully when this is done, I'm done recording, I can send it to him and he'll give him something to do while he goes home. I'll send it to him first before I put it out as a podcast. So, but I want to take this time to thank both him and Jay for keeping me out of trouble and taking care of me when I needed a place to stay, or I didn't have money for a ticket, or money for a meal, or I just sometimes didn't belong in certain places, and I was there anyway because of them. And I just want to say thank you for that, and it made me a better man. And everybody was like, you know, I was talking to Chris, like I said, and I told his daughter, I'm like, she's doing really good in school. And I said, you need to stay in school. You know, I know where you live, jokingly, of course. And Chris said, well, you did good for yourself, man. You got a profession that you love. And I said, yeah, man. I said, I'm lucky. And I keep saying I'm blessed, but I'm also lucky because I had people around me who gave a shit. People with me, by my side, telling me to do it right. Well, don't do it at all. Don't do it half-assed. If you're going to get it done. And even after they both got married and had kids, and I got married and didn't have any kids, or I got married and my marriage just fell apart, don't do it half-assed. You're going to do it? Do it. go all in. And that's why I invest everything in what I do. Because if I do it half-assed, it's not going to be right, and it won't feel right. So that's why you haven't gotten a lot of these episodes, because I'm not doing it half-assed. I need to be inspired. I need to be encouraged, and I need to be motivated. And this last week has been one of the worst weeks of my life. The absolute worst weeks of my life. I lost one of my closest and dearest friends. My brother. Closer to him than I am to any of my family. Closer to both of them than my family. They are my family. You know? Constantly looking out. Causing trouble. We talked about it last night that if there were cell phones back then, we'd all be incarcerated probably. Because Deutch was there too. And Deutch was feeling a certain kind of way. And I said, yo, I said, don't worry about it, man. I love you. I love all my people. You know, I don't care where you are in your life. I just want to see you at a place where you're good. And it may take another 20 years till we're fucking 70 to get there. I don't care. I just want you in a good place. Because without you, I wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? And I hope that you guys have these friends in your life. I hope you guys have these friends in your life because, we had a lot in common, obviously. But we had each other. And if you have that in your life, don't let it go. Whether it's family or friends, don't let it go. You got that person in your life, keep that person. Cherish them. Encourage them. Love them. Let them know you're there for them. And take care of them because they're going to take care of you. So, Jay, I know I said goodbye last night, but I'm going to say it again today. I love you. I'm going to miss you. And I'm sorry that we're not going to finish this out because I thought we were going to get old together and yell at people and carry on. And I love your family, and my heart goes out to all of them, including your wife and children. There were people last night that were just in a state of shock still. There are people there that couldn't go up to the coffin and without just falling apart, you know? That's why I waited till the end of the night to do it, because I wasn't going to do it and then fall apart. You know? That part I got smart, you know? But I'm going to miss you, man. And I'll always have the wrestling. And I passed it on to Michael. And Brian and I still talk about it. We live it. We watch it. We're watching wrestling this morning on his phone. Like, we just pick up where we left off. It'll always be that way because that's how it's, like Dusty Rhodes always said, if it got to be that way, then let it be. This ain't about money. This ain't about location. This ain't about your job title. How many times you were married, how many kids you got. You're still that same person. Don't ever change. And you never did. And that's why you kept me humble. And you straightened me out, and you looked out for me. And for that, I'll be eternally grateful for them. So I'll forever have that three on me now. And I'll always put the three up when I hear the song. And I'll always put the three up when I see Bam Bam, or Candido, Shane Douglas, even the other versions of the triple threat he had, Benoit, Malenko. But you were the franchise. You were the most athletic, and you were the best. And I'm going to really, really fucking miss you, and I love you. And Brian, I know I told you all the time, but, you know, I love you too. And we're going to try to finish this out. We're going to really try to finish this out. Because life isn't worth it without your family, without your friends. It's not. It's really not. So I'm in a little bit of a festive mood, too, because it's Halloween. Even though it's 80 degrees outside on Staten Island right now. Back to reality tomorrow. It's supposed to be like in the 50s. But Halloween is this week, and I've been watching Halloween Havoc all week. And we're going to cover the 30th anniversary of the 93 version of it, which was, I'll save it for that for that part of the podcast, but I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody's doing okay. Lots been going on in wrestling. Pay-per-views announced for New York in December for AEW. If you're a ratings person, I'm not. The ratings are down. I saw the Superfan documentary about that guy Vladimir. God bless him. It's a great story. I love Vladimir. I mean, I sat behind him at least three or four times in my life. So I know the madness that was ringside. And then when I was that close, I was lucky. But that guy's been to over 1,000 matches. He's been on TV a zillion times. He got, if you watch, I'm not going to give it all away, but it's great. I'm celebrating my 40th year as a wrestling fan this year. And, I mean, I have mixed emotions about what's going on, in, you know, with wrestling. And I can, though, because I'm not, it's never going to be what it was when I was a kid, right? Or when you were a kid, you know, you always want that nostalgia. You want to go back to the glory days of your favorite person, your favorite performer, right? You know, but there's always something good in wrestling. Whether it's a promo guy, girl, or it's a story, or it's a big event with a ginormous crowd and the crowd just eats it up. Whether it's a strong style Japanese match or a King's Road match from Japan, there's always something to grab onto and emotionally attach yourself to. And if you can't do that as a wrestling fan, then shame on you and watch reality shows or watch game shows or watch something else that you can't. This is supposed to be entertaining, right? I don't care if the ratings are down. I don't care. And in this day and age, with streaming and live streaming and apps and, like, with cable basically being taken out of people's homes slowly but surely, they're going to have to base these ratings differently and judge them differently and mark them up differently because it's not going to be the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be the same way. And you're not going to get the same numbers. So, whether it's the bullshit 50-50 booking from Tony Khan, whether it's the nonsense that goes on Monday Night Raw every year and every week lately, the last couple of years, doesn't matter. You know, if Impact changes its name to TNA again, like they did, they just did, okay, which is fine. I don't, whatever, I don't begrudge it. I you know, I was telling Brian this morning, I was like, you know, and I said this on a podcast too, like, a few times. You have wrestling on TV every day. Every single day of the week, from Monday to Saturday, you have wrestling somewhere on your videos, on your TV shows. On your apps, on your cable system, on the YouTube, all the gimmicks. All the gimmicks, kids, all of them. Enjoy it. Seriously. You know, and if you like something, you stick with it. You know, no one's judging you. No one's, what's the word I want to use? No one's begrudging you for liking something, not liking something. I'm going to passive-aggressively put this person on blast only because I love this person to death, and this person continues just to destroy AEW on their social media. Like, every day posting hateful, meaningless, like, bad, like, and then adds, like, bad commentary to it, like, you know, bringing out people's personal shit, like, you know, just trying to make a point. Like, it's not, I don't know. I won't ever like this person's, I won't like their comments. I won't comment on them. I did comment on one when they called me a cult. Because my son and I follow ECW. I thought that was fucking hilarious. But I'm going to say it again. If you don't like it, don't watch it. There's other shit to watch. plenty of shit to watch. And some of it is shit. But even in that shit, you could find a little nugget, a corn nugget, if you will, and I'm being real gross about it, but you could find a corn nugget of greatness. If you're a super fan like Vlad, you find the love. He found love in pro wrestling. And he loves it so much that when he doesn't have it in his life, he's miserable. I don't ever want to do that. I want wrestling in my life as long as I can. I want hockey in my life, baseball, a good live concert once in a while, a blowjob, chicken cutlets. I want all these things in my life constantly. I want constant blowjobs, constant chicken cutlets, and I want constant wrestling in my sports. That's what I want. And I'll be happy with my life, you know. And I think that's it. I don't know. I have anything else really. I'm not gonna start breaking down shows and because I've been watching shit sporadically in clips. And I got a cool throwback for you tonight. So, and I hope you guys. I hope I didn't bore you with my banter this first half of the show because I wanted to pay tribute to my friend and in a better state of mind, not inebriated. I don't think I'm going to delete that one though either. I'm just going to keep it just to have, you know. But yeah, so we got a cool throwback for you tonight, today, whenever you download this. I keep saying tonight because I'm so used to doing the show live that I had that in like branded in my brain that we do it like at night. Meanwhile, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, so. So sit back, relax, enjoy the podcast, and the Lordship himself, Alfred Hayes, will take you to the break. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. This is episode 487, and we will be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag Join the Mark Order. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
Then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hey, this is Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Hey guys, I've got this great idea.
Matt, I'm tired and I want to go home. Besides, Halloween Havoc is about to start.
Look, you have been picking houses all night long. Now it's my turn.
Yeah, that's only because we ended up with two pieces of last year's Christmas fruitcake from the last one you picked.
Yeah!
Whatever house you pick better be good.
Good? You want good? This will be better than good. This one will be great. And I want that!
Hi, kids.
Wow, it's Tony Schiavone. Hey, shouldn't you be at the pay-per-view?
I have a helicopter waiting to pick me up in a few minutes.
What's that smell, Tony?
It's my wife. She's baking cookies. Would you kids like to have some?
What kind are they?
Only a kind a mother could make. Why don't you come inside and have a bite of her cookies?
We have enough treats already. We came here to see something scary.
You want to see something scary? I'll show you something scary. Come inside. Kids want a little fright in your night, huh?
Gee, Mrs. Schiavone, how did you get up there so fast?
Don't you kids know? All things are possible on All Hallows' Eve. Frightening. Chilling things like
spin the wheel, make the deal.
Just one haunting spin will lock Cactus Jack Invader in combat when it lands on one of its many ghoulish, haunting matches.
That's not gonna be scary. If you can't come up with something better than that, we are leaving.
Okay. Okay. I've had it, all right? You guys want to be really scared?
Get a load of this.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, you know the music. That means it's a throwback of the week. We are the Termical Throwbacks, episode 487. And it is kicking it back to, what is this, October 24th, 1993. Was this the fourth version? Fourth installation, I believe? 90, 91. I think, yeah, this is like the fourth one of Halloween Havoc. From the Lakefront Arena in Nolens, Louisiana. 6,000 in attendance. Tony Schiavone, Jesse the Body Ventura on the stick. Eric Bischoff doing all the interviewing. Dressing like a, one of them he's actually dressed like one of the Southern boys, Tracy Smothers and one whatever Armstrong he teamed up with back in the day. He's dressed like a one of them old Confederate gimmicks. And Tony's dressed up as Jesse actually, which is pretty funny when you go back and look at it, you know. But yeah, it's it got a 0.5 buy rate, which I think this is where I miss Choppy. I think it's only like 500,000 people bought this pay-per-view. I think. If my math is wrong, by all means, guys, please correct me. But yeah, this is one of those pay-per-views that got better with A, age, and B, with the card itself. Like, because, I mean, you go through the first couple of matches, and it is dismal. Dismal. I mean, if you're gonna rank it, and I'll rank it at the end of the show, but like, I feel like it was all right. It's Halloween, so this was one of my favorite times of the year because WCW actually did a really good job of doing Halloween Havoc, and this is the Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal, one of those cards too. So let's go to the opening contest. Charlie Norris, the Native American, teaming up with Ice Train and the Shockmaster. It shows you how far the Shockmaster came after that blumber he did a couple months prior against Harlem Heat. Kane and Cole, they were still called Kane and Cole at that point. And the Equalizer, you know him better as Evad or Dave Sullivan. And they defeated the heel team at 9 minutes and 45 seconds. So that was not a very good match. It dragged out way too long. For my taste, anyway. And I must tell you, so, like I said, the card does get better, right? This one I enjoyed thoroughly. I actually just watched it again. This one almost 20 minutes for the television title. Was it the television title? No, I'm sorry. That's the one after this. I'm sorry. This one went 20 minutes without a title. It was Paul Orndorff, managed by the Assassin. The old school wrestler Assassin taking on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And Orndorff wins by countout, but this match literally went 20 minutes and it didn't stop. It was nonstop action. It was really good. I enjoyed that immensely, actually. I really did enjoy that. I did. And not because I love Paul Orndorff and Ricky Steamboat, but when you could do something like this in 1993, it makes it all worth the while. Towards the end of the match, this gets really good. So Orndorff tries to do the pile drive, but Steamboat reverses it out, and they do a messed up like pinfall reversal sequence that leads to the Dragon getting the shoulder blocks for the two, and then he shoves the ref in anger, which allows Orndorff to dump Steamboat over the top rope behind his back, and then the Assassin headbutts him with a loaded mask. and, I mean, it was good. So I liked it. You know, your next match is an all-British match for the WCW television title. Lord Steven Regal defends against Davey Boy Smith. And as soon as Michael Buffer specifically points out the 15-minute time limit, you might as well just fast-forward to the draw. You might as well just fast-forward it to the draw. A lot of gymnastics with the Bulldog back and forth. Davey gets a monkey flip and then wraps him with the bow and arrow until Sir William, which is Stephen Regal's manager, Bill Dundee, actually, in real life. Regal takes over with the Regal roll for the two, and then he gets a neck vice on the Bulldog, holds him down for a few minutes, and the Bulldog powers up and then stomps him down again. Davey makes the comeback with a minute left, but the power slam only gets a two count, and a pile driver gets a two count, and the time expires, and it was okay. Meanwhile, we go back to Eric Bischoff in the back, who spins the wheel with Vader. And Harley Race is like, make the deal, make the deal. He's, I don't know what the hell he's saying, Harley Race. But it turns out it's going to be a Texas death match for Vader versus Cactus Jack. So your next match was fantastic, by the way. The United States Heavyweight Championship is being defended. Dustin Rhodes against stunning Steve Austin. And Jesse says he feels like Dustin's wearing the sequin chaps in Texas because he probably wouldn't. Because in Texas, he's wearing the sequin chaps in Texas because it wouldn't go well for him where he is now. So Austin was still technically half of the Hollywood Blondes at this point, though the breakup was already in motion. And the opening graphic lists him as managed by Colonel Rob Parker. Well. Tony tries to quickly cover for that one by noting that Parker took credit in putting the title shot together. But clearly someone was too far ahead in the script and put the graphic up anyway. This was a good match. Dustin comes back. Does a comeback with the drop kick and goes to the work on the knee. Austin kicks him in the nuts behind the ref's back to take it over. The crowd is just dead at this point too, which really sucks. Austin drops the knee for the two, and then they slug it out. Dustin makes the comeback with the lariat for a two count, and Austin blocks the Bulldog, then dumps him on the top rope, which I love, that counter. And then Dustin recovers with a roll-up for the two, and then a small package. But Austin takes him down and pins him with the feet over the ropes at 14 minutes exactly. But Nick Patrick waves it off because Dustin rolls him up, and then Dustin rolls him up for the pin. Pretty lame finish, but it was okay. I enjoyed the match, actually. So here's something interesting. So this next match is for the WCW Tag Team titles. Tuco Scorpio and Marcus Bagwell against the Nasty Boys. Now, the Scorpio and Bagwell had only won the belts the night before on WCW Saturday Night, and at least Bagwell seems aware of how white he is doing that pre-match dance. Tony Schiavone talked about how dope Missy Hyatt is escorting the Nasties to the ring, and Jesse retorts that he always thought Missy would be perfect for an escort service. Someone get Missy some salve on both heels, and then the ring is cleared. Let's go towards the end of this match. This was all right. Let's see. Knobs with a suplex in for two. Sags hits the slam for two, and then Knobs comes in with the laziest camel clutch in the world. Even worse than Sid. Barely making contact, and then Sags pounds away and spits on Bagwell. The Nasty switch off behind the ref's back. Knob gets to then gets a bear hug. Bagwell fights out. Sags comes down with a clothesline for two. Bagwell makes a tag, the hot tag, but it's behind the ref's back, so Nasty is screwed at and get him a double team and allowing the hot tag to Scorpio for real this time. Moonsault on two gets Knobs. And the heels collide while the managers fight on the apron with Teddy Long and Missy Hyatt. Scorpio hits Knobs with a 450, but Sags clocks him with a boot and puts Knobs on top of him to regain the belts at 14 minutes and 38 seconds. To regain the belts, I should say, right? Did I just say that? Okay, because my notes are written down here. It all scrambled. Scorpio and Bagwell had tons of potential as a team, but they were completely wasted like everything else in WCW at that point, so... It was a really good match, though. Sting versus Sid Vicious is your next match. This was to determine the quote-unquote franchise of WCW. And although hopefully they never finished, the finish that won't involve Barry Windham from the previous Halloween Havoc, this was, So, at one point, Sting gets a flying clothesline for the two. Sid comes back for the chokeslam, takes him over, and then Sting comes back, pounds away, goes for a chin lock. The fans are chanting for Sid. I don't know why. I guess it's Louisiana. And then, but Sting fights back. Sid does power slam for another two count. And then Sid with an extended bear hug. Sting fights out of that, makes the comeback with the Stinger splash for the two. Oh, two, I'm sorry, for the times two, I should say. Then he gets a two count. And Sting rolls up Sid like a schoolboy for the real pin at 10 minutes and 50 seconds. It was solid, nothing to write home about. My favorite match was the next match, though. It was for the WCW. Sting won that match at, was it 10, whatever, did I say 10:50? 10 minutes, 50-something seconds? Yeah. So, in the WCW International Championship, Ric Flair versus Rick Rude. This is the official debut of the International Board of Directors, as Tony Schiavone would say, their version of the title. 2 weeks after they basically stripped the belt of the world title status and buried it dead on TV, Flair gets a giant pyro introduction, and Jesse's like, all that for the challenger? Flair comes in as the face, obviously, quickly, and goes after the knee and gets a figure four early. Rude makes the ropes, so Flair wraps the leg around the post in front of the outside referee, who's Terry Taylor, which I forgot to mention in the beginning of the card. Jesse immediately jumps all over that one, questions why the hell Taylor's supposed to even be there. And then Flair goes after the leg again and gets a wacky moment where there's a camera angle that shows the announce table. And Jesse goes, hey, we're on camera, let's wave. And they do. Rick Rude blocks a sunset flip, gets the two count, and they they broke his neck on it, actually. That Flair throws chops, and then Jesse calls Terry Taylor a load with regards to his refereeing. But Rude catches Flair with a punch to block a diving axe handle and sends him into the rails. So back in, Rude comes with a backbreaker for two. He stops the swivel at Fifi. Remember Fifi? It's his wife now, but she was called Fifi back in the day. So he just stops the swivel at Fifi and then goes up with the flying fist, but hurts the knee on the way down and only gets a two count. Rude with the camel clutch and a bear hug. And this kind of drags a little bit, but Flair comes back with a sleeper and his own Rude Awakening for a two count. Backslide gets two counts. Suplex. Flair goes up, but he lands on Rude's foot, and somehow both referees get bumped. Of course, it's WCW. Rude gets a foreign object, actually called as such by Tony Schiavone, and Flair steals it, hits Rude with it, gets a two from Taylor, and the first ref stops the count because he saw Flair using it. So Rude wins by DQ at 19 minutes and 38 seconds in a ridiculously, I want to use this other word, convoluted and dusty finish. Like I said, with the ref bump. Why? It's WCW. All right. The Texas Death Match, Big Van Vader versus Cactus Jack. This is all over the place. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I took some notes and then I deleted some shit. But it was a good match, though. All right. Modovitz on the floor. Vader goes to work in the corner. There was a bunch of bumps on the outside. It was just insane. It goes work in the corner, tosses Cactus Jack back to the ramp again. Jack tries a sleeper. Vader falls back to escape it with a brutal thump. Literally a thump. Vader just lays him out with a horrific, unprotected chair shot to the head, which is typical of Cactus at that time. And then adds a DDT onto the chair. And now they've actually got trainers out checking on Cactus Jack, which stalls the match and gives Jack a breather, which was stupid. Vader gets an official pin at that 15 minutes even. Jack recovers enough, though, during the rest period. while the ref is counting 10, Race zaps Jack with a stun gun. And Vader again wins at 15:59. And yet, another lame finish to a great match. Yeah, I think ECW and years of knowledge about concussions have dampened the impact of how somewhat this really truly was messed up. But that shit was brutal, man. Those chair shots were absolutely horrific. And it's funny because Jack continued that, like I said, with ECW, and then when he was Mankind, if you go back to watch his early Mankind matches with, like, Triple H and The Rock, it wasn't like it was their fault or anything like that, but, like, he wanted it that way. And just the chair shot, the fact that he's not a vegetable right now is beyond me. But they literally DDT'd each other on chairs and then needed a stun gun for the finish. Would have been better off just having the trainer stop the match. If Vader's winning anyway, why they make this a non-title match? Because he was a champion, right? Overall, pretty right? I'm gonna do a mild thumbs up because of my mood today, this week. The tag title match and the main event matches, nothing bad outside of the opener, but it was completely I don't want to say it was forgettable because I like these things. And this is my point of looking for stuff to picking out gems. Ric Flair and Rick Rude? Come on, man. Steve Austin and Dustin Rhodes? Like, good shit, man. But, I mean, the whole Terry Taylor exchange with the Rude's tights with the pumpkin on them? Come on, man. Missy Hyatt in that she was wearing that denim jacket with a big tits and a bra. That designer bra she was wearing, like that Madonna-looking pointy bra, that was delicious, man. That was absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, that's going to be it for this episode. I didn't want to go too long because I wasn't feeling well, and I wanted to just pay tribute and do the pay-per-view and talk about my buddy. And that's pretty much it. I didn't play any clips this time because I didn't feel like getting them together. I just wanted I watched the show. I took some notes and... That's it. Usually I play like clips of the matches in between. It just wasn't that great of a card to, you know, it was all over the place. And it was just, it's the 30th anniversary just passed of this particular pay-per-view. And now it's a two-part NXT event. I'm like, oh, man, bring Halloween Havoc back. It was good. It was good for the mainstream audience, right? So, I don't know. That's how I feel about it anyway. Let's get out of here. All right, you guys all know the social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the email is turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks, go buy a shirt. I'm going to do another episode soon. I found some relics I want to talk about. So again, guys, thank you very much for being so patient with me. I love you all. Take care of yourselves, each other. Don't get the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't be a jerk off. Be kind to animals and old ladies. And Jay, I love you. I miss you. And I'm going to miss you. And that's pretty much it. Have a great rest of your week. And good night, Gracie. And Fifi.